I'm on? Good, at least you wake up. Hello everyone, my name is Viktor Muschkaken, and today we'll talk about UpInsight and how to use UpInsight for diagnostic purposes. I hope you're having a great show. I certainly enjoy all the new innovations that we presented this week. And today we'll talk about UpInsight, which is yet another service that we release in public preview, which means that you all can go and start using it. First of all, it is important to evaluate this presentation. We welcome your feedback. It is important. Hey, now better, okay. Thank you. So please evaluate this talk, and you can start with mic problems. I will be talking about UpInsight and how to use it to troubleshoot and diagnose your service. How many of you have seen a previous talk, which was like a half an hour earlier, by Dale and Darren? Okay, so I'll try to minimize the overlap, and I think my job will be to demystify what UpInsight, how UpInsight is actually working. And that's what I will spend most of my time today. Running a successful app is hard. And we believe that every business these days is a software business. I have a scale that sends my weight up into the cloud so I can track whether I'm improving my KPI or declining. In many cases, success or failure of the business is directly related to the success or failure of your software. And unless you can measure it, you can't control it. Requirements are changing. Competition is stiff. It is very important for you to actually know what's going on. I would break these scenarios of knowing what's going on into two fundamentally different buckets. One is, I would say, find, fix, release, where we're trying to maintain the health of our service. And another bucket is usage, knowing your users, how your users engage with the application. That, I would say, bucket like build, measure, learn. Today, specifically, I'll be focusing mostly on find, fix, release type of scenarios where you need to instrument your application for simplify troubleshooting purposes. You're running business and you have lots of questions. Whether my application is up or down, and I would say that those are availability questions. Whether I'm failing with certain requests, and if the amount of failures, number of failures, exceeding certain threshold, and I need to jump and start fixing my site. You also have performance questions, and performance questions I would put into two different buckets. One is responsiveness of your application, which means how this is, you hear me? Okay, good. So this is a modern agile methodology, I would say. And this is not any particular tool. This is a culture in your organizations and the collaboration between development and operations. While we look at this collaboration, there are lots of friction points. For example, when you release application in production, sometimes you don't know what's going on there, how many customers are accessing a particular feature, or whether application is up and running. When you know, based on a Twitter feed, that your application is down, sometimes it's not enough, the data that you have is not enough to repro the issue and fix the problem. And the type of systems that developers and operations use don't talk to each other. And then, once you prioritize issues or when you are trying to understand the impact of an issue, sometimes you don't have information whether I need to fix this particular issue or that, because you don't know the impact. You don't know how many users actually have been affected by this particular failure versus another. How many of you running production sites? Awesome. Do you have in your organizations the notion of LSI, life site incident type process, where you have a call in the middle of the night and you have a bridge and people wake up and, okay, so few of you. That's where, whoa. keeps me on my toes. That's where these type of tooling and this type of information is very important, because typically the process works like this. You have a issue potentially automatically detected by your monitoring system. And the rule of thumb, 80% of issues should be automatically detected. And the rest, 20 issues, is pretty much based on a user feedback or somebody in the NOC browsing and suddenly seeing some anomalies. So when the issue is detected, then there is a triage process happening where you need to identify whether this is a real problem that you need to investigate, or this is a bug that can be fixed later. And this early triage significantly impact the cost. You either wake up people in the middle of the night and people are under the gun, or you basically create SEV3 incident and dev managers at their leisure decide how to prioritize that particular bug versus some other backlog items. So it is very important to provide a comprehensive view on your telemetry to speed up mean time to detect, mean time, and mean time to resolve or mitigate. Now, what is UpInsight? UpInsight is a application, plays an application performance management space. So we collect telemetry from all applications out there and devices. So whether it's you have an iOS, Android, Windows Phone, or services applications, whether it's .NET, Java, PHP, Python, Node, you name it. We collect all that telemetry. We send that telemetry into the cloud. We enrich that telemetry and slice and dice. We create indexes of that telemetry. And then we provide powerful insights so you can analyze your telemetry over the web. The point I want to make, and I will be keep reiterating this point over and over, because we had lots and lots of questions. UpInsight works for any application running anywhere, whether it's Amazon Cloud, Google Cloud, Azure Cloud, on-prem, public, you name it, it works. The analytical UX, user experience, is part of Azure, so you need to log into Azure to view the data. However, your application can run anywhere. Now, if you look at what UpInsight consists of, if you think about applications, the way we treat application is essentially a bucket of telemetry uniquely identified by iKey. And what we are doing with this bucket of telemetry, you can send telemetry there. First of all, you can look at your front-end application and you can ping it from outside. And we have 18 points of presence around the globe that you can execute your ping. If you're familiar with, let's say, Keynote, Gomez, Pingdom, that would be the similar scenario. What we do, however, we execute not just simple ping, we execute Visual Studio web tests. So you can record multi-step transactions and run it from multiple points of presence. In this case, you can detect not only that your site is up or down, but also you could detect that you have your resources are up. For example, you can record a simple, let's say you have a commerce site and you have a search. You can record a session that does the typical search. And if you get the results back, you know for a fact that actually the search, all your search subsystem is up. So we do not recommend to record web tests for every possible use case scenario. Instead, pick critical scenarios that validate resource availability. And that's how you can test that your site not only up, but all your important resources, pieces of technologies are up. However, it does not replace real user monitoring. And we monitor real users from the client side, where you can install our SDK on the iOS device, Android device, Windows Phone device. Or you can add our JavaScript snippet into your browser, which will give you the actual responsiveness and performance of your end users. We also monitor it from the server side, where we can detect failures, performance degradation. And when we detect those performance degradation, if you think what a server application does when it runs, when it receives the request, it relies on external services. Let's say I can call a SQL database, right? I can query blob storage, okay? I can rely on some other WCF services and so forth. So we would automatically monitor that, and we would correlate all that technology together. And that's later on that something that I will show you. And the last but not least is the infrastructure. So we've talked about clients, we've talked about the server, your application code that's running on the server, and then you run on the actual box or VMs or Docker. And in many cases, you need to know the health of that box itself, especially if you're running on-prem, high-density environment where multiple, let's say, websites are sharing the same machine. You want to know about CPU, memory, I/O, thread starvation, and so forth. We collect that as well. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to quickly show you how we do that. To do so, I'm going to start with Visual Studio. And I will go quickly through a similar flow that Dale showed, but I will talk a little bit more what are we doing behind the scene. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a web project. And let's call it a build demo. 1, 2, 3, just to make sure that I won't clash with anybody. I also want to do one more thing. I want to create a resource group. How many of you have heard about resource group? Awesome. So resource group is a hosting containment relationship where I can create a resource group and then put multiple resources into that resource group. Currently in Azure, resource group gives you three value add. It gives you, it's a single point of RBAC. So if you create a resource group for your staging versus production, you can set different permissions for your staging resources versus production resources. That's one. Second, you can see billing for that resource group. And you would be able to see how much you pay for your staging resources versus production resources. And third, all the issues, all the alerts will be aggregated at the level of resource group. So by looking at the resource group, you can kind of see it all. And I don't know how many of you have seen Gallery, Azure Gallery. customization for blades through the gallery. Okay, I'll show you that because that's a very cool feature that apparently not many people have seen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create this resource group with my application. And in this particular case, I will host, it's going to be MVC, I will host it in Azure. And I'll pick my prototype subscription. I'll pick my region. And while Visual Studio is going through motions, let me explain what will happen. First of all, we will create a resource group called Build Demo 123. Second, we will create up in site resource called Build Demo 123, and we will place it into that resource group. Third, we will create website called Build Demo 123. I didn't check that, and put it into that resource group. So what I would expect is that at the end, we will have a resource group with two resources in it, AppInsight and the website, okay? Now, also, what you see here is, hopefully NuGet will cooperate with me, the Visual Studio will upload all the NuGet packages to my machine. And so I will get latest and greatest NuGets from the web. Also, it will create AppInsight config, which basically contains configuration for Application Insight. And it will put their Application Insight ID, we call it instrumentation key, into that AppInsight config. And it looks like it's there, so let me run it, and then we'll talk how we've collected all this telemetry. So I want to show it this way, and actually even this way, because the points I want to make are here. So. What I want you to notice that every time when I click, there is something happening in the output window. And right now we're in debug mode. And let me talk about a little bit about what's happening in Visual Studio at this time. So I pause it. First of all, you notice that there is a toast. And this toast would allow me to jump into Azure Portal to see telemetry that we just collected. Also, I want to point out that we are showing you the telemetry that we are collecting right now. And as you've seen that in the debug mode in Visual Studio, we send telemetry automatically. Like automatically, every time when I click, there is something going into the wire. In production settings, that's not feasible. So we have a mechanism to batch it, and we send it every 30 seconds. So that is done for you automatically. Now, as you see, as part of this telemetry, we collect lots of information. And let me talk a little bit about how AppInsight is actually structured. First of all, we have what we call AppInsight Core, which is essentially a shim over our JSON endpoint, public endpoint. And this low-level API expose a number of functions. Functions that define our domain model. Earlier, I was talking about the notion of application, which is essentially a bucket in the sky, bucket of telemetry in the sky. And we believe that application accepts requests, it spits out exceptions and traces and logs. It also can be instrumented for usage events or for control flow events and metrics, and it relies on dependencies. And coincidentally, we have an API surface that covers exactly that. We have track exception, track metric, track request, track dependency, track page views, and so forth. So our core SDK provides that. On top of that, we have logging framework. So if you guys already instrumented applications with some kind of instrumentation, so how many of you have already instrumented apps with, let's say, Log4Net or Nlog? Awesome. So if you've already instrumented your application with some code, we want to preserve that instrumentation, and we want to operationalize it. So we have our own listeners, appenders, subscribers, you name it, for most popular logging framework. And what you can do is you can basically channel your logging information up into the cloud. And you will get two benefits with that. We will, first of all, provide a UI, user experience, that would allow you to slice and dice information. Very often I've seen with instrumentation framework implementation, people dump it into SQL and then do T-SQL to mine it. So we do much better than that. We have a full-blown UI, analytical UI, that would allow you to understand what's going on in your log. But we also correlate those logs with our requests. So you'd be able to see that while processing this particular request, this is the telemetry that was that this request was emitting while processing it. So that's our second layer. So core logging. And the third layer is our AutoMagic, where without you writing any line of code, we would collect data. And as you've seen what I just did, by virtue of me checking, well, keeping that checkbox for web applications, we are emitting lots of telemetry. And I'll show you that telemetry in a second. But that's our auto-instrumentation layer. And it consists of two pieces. First of all, we auto-wire to a standard, let's say, requests, or we collect automatically exceptions. But we also collect standard properties. And if you look here, I don't know if it is well, it is, you can see this, but we are collecting Windows version. We're collecting device model. We collect a lot of IP address, obviously, and so forth. We collect out of the box a lot of properties that you would need for diagnostic, troubleshooting, analytical purposes, okay? Now, let me go into the into my application in to look at the data that we've sent. So what I did, I just click on a deep link, and hopefully what you will see is you will see the data for build demo 1, 2, 3. Okay, so I clicked and this is my browser data. So again, this is we've collected all this data with no instrumentation. Okay. Now, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to code a little bit. And I'll show you the before I do, I promise to show you how we've, where's the magic. And the magic is here. We added our HTTP module. Okay. So we can collect all the traffic that's going in and out from your website, okay? That's how we attach to all your request processing. If you need to attach to the tracing, what you can do is, let's say you're using system.diagnostics. You can go to manage NuGet packages and and if you look at Application Insights Listener, you would be able to see, essentially, Entlib Trace Listener. You would be able to see the OpenSight Trace Listener. So there is an Nlog, Log4Net. You would be able to see all those Trace Listeners. And the only thing you have to do is add that Trace Listener to your application, and we will do everything for you. We would put our trace listener as, an appender in the configuration, or as a listener in the configuration for trace listener, system diagnostics, okay? And that's how you'd be able to collect. Now, let me show you a piece of code that you most likely would do. So this is my empty controller. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cut and paste code. We'll talk about it, and then I'll fast forward, and I'll show you what are we collecting usually. So I'm replacing my code. And this is a very, very, very typical code. Let me fix all the issues. Okay. So I'm with the help Visual Studio. I believe that we are, this one. We will be golden. And then I'll describe what this code does. So first of all, I have I decided to use this external service that geocode my IP address. You basically pass IPv4, and as a result, you get various properties like city, state, and so forth. What you see here is I'm getting the IP address of a visitor, and I'm calling a very simple URL ping using my helper function, and then I'm outputting in on my page the IP address and the city. Okay, that's a very typical, straightforward call to external service, right? And I also did here, I decided to do some tracing. I wrote some tracing information. So far, you don't see any up in sight in this code, right? Which is good. And another piece of code is fairly standard, my SQL calls to database to fetch some data, okay? With some exception handling and so forth. So what I want to point out that in this particular piece of code, I didn't write anything specific to OpenSite. Now let's say fast forward and we go into the cloud. What I have this app running in the cloud, and I want to show you what data we were able to collect for that particular piece of code. Now, I've been kind of clicking on this app yesterday, so that's why you see this data here. And what I can do is I can go into the performance and see the performance for every page that I clicked. But also, which is very important, is I was able to see all the dependency. Again, I did not, as a developer, decorate any call to the dependency, and yet I was able to collect dependency to, in this particular case, web service, HTTP call, and the database. We have ability to kind of automagically collect all your HTTP calls and SQL calls, both synchronous and asynchronous, and associate them with an application and with a function. And for example, I can go to about function, and what you see is I see a list of executions of that function. And if I look at this request, what you will see is that this inetinfo.io call is there. And as a developer, I just want to point out that as a developer, I did not write any line of code. This is my code. And yet, we were able to associate request with dependency. And from our experience, majority of performance problems somewhere downstream, let's say you rely on SQL and SQL is slow, you rely on some external service and that service is slow. So this would help you automatically see all the performance problems related to dependencies. Also, while I'm on the code, you see that there is some piece of diagnostic code that I wrote, write line message. Now, if I go here, and if I click, and I see this telemetry for this request, I see there are two pieces. And this is very important. We have ability to do to automatically correlate that telemetry with your logging instrumentation, that request with your logging instrumentation. And what you see here is, this is my request, and this is the trace that was originated from that request. That's, again, very important feature and pretty significant value, that sometimes all your logging information misses the context, and sometimes you have to do some strange correlation between pieces of technology, and especially in big enterprise organizations where different teams instrument and then you do your integration, and sometimes it's very hard to understand what's going on. I have a company that with a team of 150 people created over 2,300 different tables for telemetry. Now imagine LifeSite process where somebody woke me up in the middle of the night and I need to go and search this table, then switch to another table, switch to another table. What you see here is in a single place, you see all the telemetry and you can slice and dice it. Now, how can you slice and dice it? I pick this trace that was associated with the request. We've collected lots of properties for this, and one of the properties that we did collect is session ID. So what I can do is I can click and run the diagnostic search for that particular session ID. And what you see here, well, this is not as impressive, but what you'll be able to see here is essentially every interaction that that particular user had during that session in that list. So you would be able to essentially mentally replay the walkthrough through your site that that user did. Okay? And also I want to point out that, I don't know, I've seen a lot of implementation of custom, homegrown searching over logs. Typically, there are lots of limitations here and there. This allows you to kind of centralize all that searching on top of your log. So, again, the idea that I mentioned, that we would operationalize your telemetry. You've already invested a lot, you thought through it, we can operationalize it, making it easier and simpler to support your application in production. Now, I was going to show you, and hopefully it will work out, the other important thing. I was going to show you in real life how the domain model. And for that, I'm planning to use a console app. And I will open up a console app. Build demo console app. And we will code together. But before I do this, I want to show you another way to create OpenSite resource. And let me, for that, go to EB's experience. Sorry, Azure experience. And I'm going to create OpenSite. So what I'm... Build demo console app. I'm creating the name, right? I am selecting application type. And this is, again, I want to point out that we support multiple applications. We support server-side application, ASP.NET. We support Java. We support iOS, Android. We support it all. We'll get you covered. Now, let me pick other, because this is clearly, this console app is not a typical application. Now, I want to create a resource group. So I have lots of resource group in my subscriptions. So, and I'm going to create a new resource group. And I'll call it the same way, the same name. I'll call it, instead of group 42, which is an ultimate answer, I will call it, okay, and in subscription prototype. So what I just did, I created up on site resource, this bucket of telemetry. And it will be creating, and pretty soon, I will get one thing that I need from that resource at this point. I need an iKey, instrumentation key, because any piece of telemetry that I'm sending should be identified by iKey. While it's creating, let me write some, actually cut and paste some code. And we'll talk about the code. So let me add my NuGet. Remember, all of our NuGets are, all of our SDKs, .NET SDKs are published as NuGets, so you can search application insights, and you would need to get this core API. Remember, this core API provides the core set of calls, track requests, track exceptions, track metric, and so forth. So I'm going to install it. Okay, so I install it. And now I can, again, I can fix my usage. I need to support this. I believe that I'm, oops, thread is not, okay. So I think I'm in business, right? Okay. Now, as you see, that we're still missing this iKey. Let me get the iKey. We're still creating. But you know what? It does not matter. Remember, we were talking about that iKey is very arbitrary. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to my demo that I just showed you, the application up inside demo, and I will grab that iKey, which means that I will send my telemetry data into that demo, that bucket. Actually, I think there was another. Let me see if I can get this demo iKey. So let me grab this iKey. So this instrumentation key uniquely identify piece of telemetry in the cloud. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this iKey here. So now, let's talk about what do I have here. I have a console application that's in a loop, asks a very existential question. Should I use Up Insight? Yes or no? And unless you answer yes, exclamation point, you will not leave that loop. And while we do that, we will do a couple things. First of all, we will time How much time did it take you to guess that a simple answer? That's first thing. And we will treat that, we'll call a request for this. And that's what I'm going to demonstrate. Very, very simple thing. Now, let's run it. Oops, let's run it. Okay, first answer, why? No. Any other suggestion? I'm kind of, maybe. Huh? All the time?
What do you do?
42, good. So we are creative. Let me get out. So what will happen, and you've seen, right, while we were answering below, you've seen all those requests, all that telemetry being pumped into the cloud, okay? And the API is very, very simple. It's literally, I can go to CTX dot, and this is the API. Track event, track exception, track metric, page view, track trace, and so forth. Okay? Super simple. Now, let's take a look at, hopefully the data will show up. Let's take a look at what we've got. What you see here is the list of URLs. As you've noticed, the way I'm using track request, it's essentially a hacky way. If you look at the signature, it starts with request URL. So clearly, since we were sending not a URL, we were sending our answers as a URL, in the grid that I just showed, you don't see those URLs there. Okay, then you see the date and time, you see the elapsed time, you see the status code and correct answer and the Boolean. So now, if I go here, this is another pretty powerful thing. What I can do, I can modify this particular UI and show something different. I can show request name. And look what will happen. You see? This is our, guys, this is our data that we just sent. All this yes, exclamation point, no. So the point I'm making here is that API is super extensible. As long as you play using our domain kind of model, where application accepts requests, spits out exceptions and logs, emit usage trace information, usage and control flow information, emits metrics, and rely on dependencies, you can pretty much take any applications and use UpInsight to support it, okay? With no problem. Now, let me switch to the PowerPoint. We have 15 minutes left. So, just to summarize, key capabilities. What you've seen, we provide essentially 360 view on your applications. We support multiple platforms. We support devices, browsers. We support servers. And we put all that telemetry into a single place so you can correlate your performance with your usage data and so forth. Second, since we provide a lot of out-of-the-box collection, we will correlate your logs with our auto-collected telemetry, let's say, request. It will help you identify and slice and dice your logs more meaningfully and much faster. We automatically collect exceptions. We automatically collect performance degradation related to dependencies. That significantly improve and speed up diagnostics and user usage analysis. And the last piece is you've seen how easy it was to integrate UpInsight into your .NET application. Essentially, you didn't have to do anything to kind of fall into UpInsight. There was a checkbox, and we've done all the outer wiring for you. We're doing the same thing for other platforms. We have Java Eclipse plugin that allow you to do pretty much the same thing for your Java applications. We have a companion application for Xcode, for Android Studio, and so forth. So you would be able to essentially fall into UpInsight from any IDE, any platform that you have. We publish our SDKs as open source. So you guys can see how we build those SDKs. They're on GitHub. You can search for Application Sites Home, and you'll find our SDKs there. As I mentioned, we do support logging frameworks. And this is the list that we support. However, there are community contributions. So we have a framework called Serilog. I didn't even know that such thing exists. And somebody wrote integration with Serilog. We have folks that wrote integration with Entlib, with Slab, and so forth. So I would highly recommend you to join us. And together, we can definitely make it better. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we are in public preview, which means that we will start charging you for the service. We support both free version as well as tiers of paid version. And for the most part, we believe that the free version would cover your dev needs. Okay. As your application mature and grow, you have a choice between basic and standard pricing tier that would allow you to essentially pay for enough information to cover your analytical needs. Okay, but it's starting now. Services in public preview. We announced it on Wednesday. So you can try Application Insights today and go to AKAMS Application Insights. Again, three things that I want you to remember. It's a 360 view for your applications. Regardless where your application runs, Azure, Amazon, Google Cloud, Rackspace, your on-prem servers, we've got you covered. Devices, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Store, it's all there. We provide fast and pretty powerful analytical capabilities that would significantly simplify your troubleshooting process, diagnostics, triaging, detection process. And we also provide visibility into the usage. You'd be able to see how many customers using particular feature of your app. We provide pretty extensible the eventing API that allow you to emit custom events. And more importantly, we provide metrics. And those metrics are not standard, let's say, perf counters that you would use, or let's say, I don't know, StatsD metric that you could have used. Our metric are multidimensional, which means that you can emit a metric with X number of parameters, let's say 5 parameters, and then you can slice and dice that particular metric the way you want it. For example, you may, as one of the parameter, put your geo. And in this case, you can slice a standard metric based on your geo distribution. Or, somebody in the previous talk asked a question, if I'm running cluster A versus cluster B. I want to see my all-up performance, but also I'd like to understand what's going on this cluster versus that cluster. Again, you would be able to annotate our telemetry, all telemetry that's coming from cluster A with a tag A, or cluster A, and telemetry coming from cluster B with tag B, cluster B, and you would be able to later on not only see the overall performance of your application across multiple clusters, but also would be able to slice and dice that performance, any telemetry as a matter of fact, by a particular stamp. Okay? So, do you have any questions? I have some time. Okay? Go ahead. Yeah, so the question is, if it's a simple site deployed in Azure, let me go to simple site deployed in Azure. And let's say I browse web apps, and I can see all my web apps. Okay, and I pick hopefully like this website. What you will see here is the once these extensions load. I was going to show you the this part. This is basically a application monitoring part that would allow you to enable up in sight from the Azure. And the way you get this part in, I remember I mentioned that I will talk about gallery. If you customize the blade, you can add from the gallery any parts. And if you click on the monitoring, you will see this. If you click on the monitoring, you will see this application summary part, and it's just a matter of drag and drop. How many of you have seen this functionality? Have you? Okay, some. This is pretty powerful functionality, and I would recommend you to play with the gallery and customize your blades, because in this case, what you can do, on the resource level, you can pick and choose which metrics you want to put on the resource, so you can see a holistic view of all different resources that you put in the resource group. Okay? So, but the point is that you would be able to essentially get to the application monitoring from here. Okay? As a matter of fact, this basically enables extension. That's correct. That's internally. Go ahead. Okay. So the question is, what's the performance impact? This is a very simple and yet tricky question. So the way we measure performance in terms of degradation for RPSs. So let's say you can process with your fully pegged site, CPU bound site, 100 requests per second. With our monitoring, our goal, our targets are to enable you to process no less than 99. So we're not necessarily measuring CPU or memory footprint. However, it is very important. But as an all-up goal for us is to be less than 1% on RPSs. And in most cases, you're not running your site with 100% CPU, which means that in most cases, you won't even notice it.
So a couple questions. You showed the SQL stuff, monitoring the stuff. We support an older desktop app. What kind of information can you catch? Like, we have problems with deadlocks occasionally. Do you get more information than just a deadlock? Is what's caught beyond that level? And then from a tech team, how would you limit like our tech team to be able to see this? And can you present that session ID to the client so that when they would call back in, you could link that call to this insight information so that they could use it?
Okay, there are number of questions.
Yeah.
First of all, when you said that there is a deadlock.
Yeah.
Typically, deadlock happens on the deadlock on a SQL.
Yes.
Okay. Deadlock on a SQL, we ourselves, we would not detect because we look at the SQL as observed tier. So typically what happens during the deadlock on a SQL, your thread, your particular execution became a victim of a deadlock, you've been killed. From our standpoint, we would just get the exception.
Okay.
We would not necessarily know what was going on. If somebody ran a batch and you escalated a table lock and that's why you got killed,
right.
So we won't help you essentially troubleshoot that particular thing, we will help you detect it.
So it's the same as the standard world
that,
today.
Hey, there was a problem, there was an exception.
Okay.
That we will collect.
Okay.
And the other one is how to limit permissions. I would recommend limit permissions using a built-in feature. Oh, sorry. Done. So any blade, including my resource group blade, that's where I would recommend. This is the resource group where I have my website and Azure website and App Insight component. I would recommend you to use the feature where I can essentially put read, write, admin rights to the resource. In this case, you would be able to control who can see telemetry for which app, which resource group.
So can you display that that session ID to the customer so they can call, like when they call in for a tech support call to say, hey, I'm having problems. Here's my, on the client side.
This is interesting. You can, it will be your code because this is our
right.
session ID. If you display, that's an interesting scenario, basically display that session ID somewhere in your site. So when customer call help desk, they'd be able to refer to that session ID. This is a pretty cool scenario.
Yeah, because you want
to close. But you would code it yourself.
You would want to close the response loop, right? Because now I have the reproduction data I need on the development side to close the loop and solve the problem.
Yeah.
But you could display that. You can access that through the client side. We just have to write the code.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have a question. Here. In the client side type of implementation, like your console app or like a WinForms or WPF app, what happens in that scenario for like a sometimes connected state, like you're not always connected to Azure?
Mm-hmm. So the question is essentially disconnected scenario. This is a very typical, for example, for phone could be and for desktop apps. Currently, we support a number of what we call channel for that core SDK because the core SDK hides the complexity of our interaction with the service. And one of the channel that we support is persistent channel, where we will store data locally and then we pump it out. So we do support that scenario.
So when does that pump out? Like it just, does it check for connections at
when you next time start the application?
Okay.
It will be first time currently. When you next start the application, it will check, hey, connection is there. And if it's there, it will start pumping.
Is there a means to collect that data and take it like off the client and like potentially on a to direct where that local storage goes rather than sitting on the client itself, like to network share or something like that we can then batch up at a different time from somewhere other than the client?
Out of the box, we don't support that functionality. However, in this case, we can take it offline. In this case, what I would do is I would just put your instrumentation somewhere, like right now, you can put it locally, and then offline have a little app that read that instrumentation and basically call our track trace or whatever method to pump that that out. But out of the box, we don't support support kind of functionality. It's all we do it for ourselves,
okay. But
it's right now not exposed.
Okay, thank you.
We have, I think, typical scenario where we put data through in the web API to the queue, and then there is worker role that gets it from the queue. How would we measure and monitor this end-to-end processing?
Yeah, this is a very typical scenario. So scenario is if I have a front end placing some, let's say, orders through a queue, and then I have a worker that reads that queue.
Exactly.
Inside App Insight, we have three different methods to measure that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
so
meaning.
Basically, what we are doing it's pretty complicated, and you would have to think because in simple scenario, when you actually when it's a one-to-one, when you put one and you retrieve one. But mm-hmm. once you have more complicated scenario, you mm-hmm. batch it, you put it, then you
yes.
shred it, and then put it in another queue.
Right.
It's more complicated. And the way we've done it through use of custom metrics, where we are basic sniff test. We're checking how many requests we put in the queue, and then how many requests we retrieve from the queue. And then we graph it, and mm-hmm. if there is any difference, like you eyeball it or you create an mm-hmm. alert. If there is any difference, there is a problem. So that's one. We also timestamp, at least for our own implementations, we timestamp each telemetry. And at the end, what we do, we basically, since we timestamp, we know start time, we again emit custom metric that we drive all of our latency monitoring.
I see what it is.
So we heavily ourselves, we rely on App Insight actually to monitor. We heavily rely on custom instrumentation.
Okay.
But there is no like magic.
Okay, I see. So you measure it yourself and then log it on the output side practically.
Yeah, we emit it as a custom metric. And then we basically
one of our problems, we want to monitor that it's completely broken. It's, for example, that works. But what if data coming in, the problem can be they don't come in, that's why there is nothing on the outsides, mm-hmm. or the processing is broken.
Believe me, we live through this because we have multiple regional centers. Then that channel data to a central location. Yeah. So we've lived through that. I don't think that there is, in reality, I don't think that there is a kind of silver bullet. We've we've solved it for ourselves through instrumentation. And what we give you all the means to solve it.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, we are very dependent on latency. Because as I mentioned before, performance, there are two things. Responsiveness for, if you look at SCRUD type of operations, right? So your search and read, typically that's your responsiveness. For mm-hmm. all the create, update, delete, that's your eventual consistency. That's your latency measures. And we are measuring it, and we've done it through instrumentation. We can later talk about actual mm-hmm. specific because it's
pretty thank
cool.
you.
So I have two questions. The first one is, so we have the typical website that collects information from the user type of the data, then send the request. As part of the out-of-the-box telemetry, does it include the posted data, what the content of what the client is sending to the server, to application?
We don't do it.
Okay.
However, you can do it. We have, we kind of going deep. We have a couple things. We have what we call the context initializer that would allow you to add static tags for each request, and that's typically your configuration. Remember I mentioning stamp 1 versus stamp B. Versus we have what's called telemetry initializer, where every time when you process telemetry, if you want to add some payload to request, let's say, it would automatically be added. So if you want, by all means, but this is a PII data,
right.
And it's up to you.
Right. The other part, it's we have a process of, it's a website, but then there are many times when they send the data to a database, SQL Server, it does something and then come back with the result. And it doesn't take that long, a couple of seconds, to do that process in the database, but a few times it takes longer. Is there a way to add telemetry from inside the database, from SQL Server database, to know if there is a process, a stored procedure to have 10 steps to know the time between this step within the database?
So what you see is on the client, you see that it took 2 seconds and you'd like to understand what was going on in the database? Is that
yes.
the question? That's a very good question. And I would say in the diagnostic scenario, that's the next step when you're trying to troubleshoot, diagnose the problem. Currently, we would not help you with that. However, there are some ideas that potentially query plan would help you understand the execution. And if you see, let's say, I don't know, table scan, or you don't use indexes, that would help.
Yeah, but it's basically taking the same information that they're getting right now from the application where the application is running, and then trying to extract the same information of what's happening on the database at the same time.
Sure.
So knowing what was the workload in the database, number of transactions at that moment, new current users and everything. So basically put all that together.
Two together, yeah. Because both, if you're running in Azure, that's the beauty of essentially running in Azure and having a single portal. What we will do eventually is we would correlate this this call with the Azure database. So you would be able to see, kind of go back in time, and while you see this particular call, let's say my about, right? When you look at this particular call, you would be able to essentially go further and see what was going on a SQL box. Let's say this is my request. At least that's how. Oh, this is not, this was not SQL. But anyway, the idea is the same. Basically, when you kind of go further, and you would see what was going on with the SQL. If you're running everything in Azure, that resource would be in Azure, and you would be able to see it. Currently, that's not there. But this is something. These are the ideas that we keep hearing, and at some point we will definitely implement it and That's the value of having all your resources kind of in Azure.
Okay.
But if they're not, then it also would work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more information on pricing and the tiers?
Yes, actually, it's public on the web. If I remember correctly, we have 5 million data points. Remember that that big JSON that you've seen is free. Then we have another, I think the last one is 50 million for $99 with some overages. And the basic, I'm not sure, it's like 15 million data points, something, or don't quote me. But it's all for $24.99. It's all on the web, so you could see it.
And you can obviously stack multiple of these on top of each other.
So it's per application.
Oh, I see.
So instead, I would recommend each developer have its own kind of little app to play with.
But what about for production?
Production would have to consolidate it.
Yeah.
You right. also have to make money.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think it's very cool. We've already made some investments in another product that looks very similar, which is New Relic. I don't know if you're familiar
awesome
with it.
Product.
So if you could compare, you know, this to that, is it equal? Is this more powerful in some sense because it's in Azure and you're going to be correlating it with the other things that are happening in Azure? Like if I were to make the decision, you know, we want to switch to Application Insights, what would be the reasoning for that?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. So the question was how it compares to New Relic. And let me generalize it, how it compares to every other APM vendor out there, that New Relic, AppDynamics, Dynatrace, you name it, there are plenty of them.
Right.
And this is a philosophical question, because in reality, we all play in the same space. However, I would say that there is a fundamental difference. And way back when, I had a company that was acquired by Microsoft called AviCode, and we were doing pretty much the same thing. Bytecode instrumentation, we were showing miracles. You just drop our agent, and suddenly you see magic. Over the years, running with big enterprises, I learned that it's great at a certain maturity of the project. But as you go further, this agent doesn't give you much. So what we do, we fundamentally, we say that, hey, this is SDK, and it's an API. If we can do auto magic, we will do it. So we're doing auto magic through basically pluggable middleware. Like for .NET, it's HTTP module, for right. Java, that's filter, for Python, that's WSGI, for Ruby, that's Rack. So that's what we do. But then what we're trying to do, we're trying to invest into a platform to make it easy. We're trying to democratize APM. So platform would emit useful telemetry. So you don't have to deploy an agent, because agent means that you, when you deploy your application, you need to ask your ops to deploy the agent and then point that agent, attach that agent to your process, right? So we're trying to say save you from that step. Now, if you look at the maturity of your application, when you start, you have an architect and dev, or you have two buddies in the garage. They have build system, they have source control, defect tracking type of system, and then they have their own instrumentation, because that's what they do for day-to-day debugging. Once they go in prod, that's where sweet spot for tools, current tools like New Relic, AppDynamics, and so forth, because they want to know, or Google Analytics, they want to know what's going on, whether customers actually came and clicked that button. The simplest and cheapest way to do that is to plop Java, Google Analytics scripts, or put the New Relic agent. But then project mature, and then suddenly you care about things called SLA. SLA, believe me, I've seen all flavors and permutation what SLA actually means, what customer funnel actually means. And you find yourself that you're writing a lot more code to operationalize your infrastructure. And the initial return that you got from the agent-based technology quickly diminished by the amount of custom code that you need to write anyway for your custom tip, for your custom availability pings and so forth. So I believe that this time we're trying to do something different. We're trying to tell a developer story where developers are in control. As a matter of fact, you can use our SDK while New Relic is monitoring your site. So basically, by embedding our SDK into the code and let that code travel with the, if you will, agent inside, we decoupling essentially this step from installing the agent, and we decoupling this infra from developer because you are in control.
Right.
Okay, so that's the idea, and so our emphasis is on developer. We do auto magic as well. We have the agent also that you can go to WebPI, if you're familiar with WebPI, and download what's called status monitor. And I would recommend download that status monitor. But long term, we're trying to make sure that the platform is emitting a right telemetry. For example, in the next version of .NET, all the telemetry, all the magic that I was showing right now with dependencies will be emitted by system.net and system.data. It's going to be democratized. Anybody can read that. It's going to be exposed as an event source. So that's the idea.
Okay. Thanks.
Very long-winded.
Hi. If I understood the session ID concept, you can search for all messages within the same request. Now, if we go back to that scenario where an order is submitted and it goes into a queue and then a worker role picks it up, do you provide any help in tracing the messages related to that order across processes and machines?
Would be nice, huh? as I mentioned, this is something that we are looking because, and there is a, there's a lot of thoughts going on as we speak. We'll see.
Okay, so I have to do that myself right now.
Right now, yes. You have to do it yourself.
Thank you.
But we'll see.
So we have a very lean team, and so one of the questions I have is basically around alerts, customized email alerts and what have you. You know, what can we do to trigger those, for example, if things are up and down? Another thing is basically queues, monitoring like thresholds on queues, whether they build up and they're not being emptied. Mm-hmm. Things like that, just to kind of signal us to tell us something's wrong, something to look into.
Yeah, so what you see is basically the alert, ability to add the alert. Wow, you have, okay, you have lots of metrics. So, you basically will be covered with respect to your alerts, and so like processor, there's a standard set of custom perf counters. There is a standard set of you can also emit metrics, and you'll be able to raise an alert on top of that. That's how I would personalize the data. And if you have a queue length as a metric, just we would be able to capture it and raise an alert.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Hold on. Let's let me do a couple things. Let me do. Okay, so I would recommend to go to our documentation, and I would recommend look at other platforms. That would give you a list of hopefully everything. Yeah, so that would give you a list, and if you want to understand how JavaScript is instrumented, this is the resource that you can look up. So there's, hold on, let me see if there is a JavaScript itself. Well, there is a, this is what you would do in JavaScript, okay? Yeah. Basically, yes. I would, you know what, I would even make a point that I would run Google Analytics and OpenSite at the same time, because Google Analytics typically purchased and used by marketing folks, and Google Analytics has more marketing kind of flavor, where OpenSite provides similar concept of a beacon that you put on a page, but we are focused on mostly kind of development time. Okay, so that's Google. In many cases, let's say for us, when we ship a new feature, there's a certain path that we want to track. It's interesting debate whether you don't see the conversion because this feature is not useful, or the way it's presented is not useful, or our marketing didn't work. So it's useful for developers to be able to actually instrument what they want to know, what type of hypothesis they want to run. So that's why we would focus, we would let marketing folks use GA, and we would, actually not GA, there's another similar product. But we still instrument our stuff with OpenSite because we're in control. And every time when we ship, and we ship like weekly and every sprint three weeks, we do our instrumentation, and we don't want to touch any of the metric that VP of marketing looks at. Yeah.
Can this data be consumed by System Center?
Question, can this data be consumed by System Center? Currently, it's not, with one caveat. If you use your System Center as a monitoring infra for your all on-prem, and you, let's say, integrate System Center with Remedy as your help desk solution. What you could do, you could use Azure Pack, Azure MP, to pull all Azure Alerts. And because we create Azure Alerts, you would be able to see those alerts in System Center and subsequently in, let's say, Remedy. Okay. So in that respect, I would say we'd still honor all the enterprise kind of alerting scenarios, but we don't have currently anything in System Center. With that said, again, if you want it, you can configure continuous export. You can configure continuous export and pump data out. That's what I would do. I would go and I would click continuous export. I would pick, add, I pick export, and so forth. So I would basically configure continuous export into blob and then do the do everything yourself. Okay, yeah, there we can see it. Yeah, yeah. I see. Slab. So the question is whether I can differentiate set of parameters. Yes, but this is a little bit deeper concept. We have what we call context initializer and telemetry initializer. Context initializer starts once. When we initialize the context, and typically you, at that time, read your configuration. And that telemetry will be shared across them all regardless. Then you have telemetry initializer. That, we call that callback every time when you emit new telemetry item. And inside that callback, you can do pretty much whatever you want. You can even put the runtime. Not only you can differentiate by different types of telemetry, but you also can put some runtime. Earlier, for example, if you have a, I don't know, account ID for a user, that's where I would put it. If you have a particular user username that you want to pass it through your telemetry, that's the place where I would put it because that changes with every request. Okay, so the UI is, again, it's all here.
Let me go to, let me see. It's the same UI. I would be able to go to whatever, Metric Explorer. I don't know why it's not Metric Explorer. And if I add a chart, I can pick a metric, and right now, see this custom metric. So first of all, I don't know if I will see anything, but first of all your custom metrics would be there. In addition to that, unfortunately, there is nothing. In addition to that, you would be able to essentially slice and dice here when you click grouping. And you would be able to see your attribute here.
Even though
it's not exactly for the everywhere. That's correct. As long as it's in the schema and we've seen it in the schema, we'll do it. It's a NoSQL DB, if you will. It is a simple question. very fair question. We are working on it. This is this was abundantly clear for us that we need to do something right now. We have native for iOS and Android. We don't have native Xamarin, if you will. With that said, you still can use our SDK, but it's—I agree that it's not optimized. Yeah, we'll work on it. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Okay. Okay, guys. Thank you. And I think we. Yeah. Thanks. Put evaluation forms because we need to know what you think. Okay. Please. Thanks.